Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says: "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." May God add blessings to the reading of his word.
If you notice in your bulletin in the very front cover, we have our mission statement that says, "We exist to join hands with you to become mature followers of Christ." We want Jesus to be our leader, do we not? And so this morning, Pedro and Anthony wants to have Jesus as their leader. And Pedro has been attending a little bit over 3.5 months, but perhaps you may not know too much about him, but I'm going to let him introduce himself. And then also, I want him to share why he's getting baptized this morning. So at this time, I would like to invite Pedro's mom is here. So if you and Pedro's friends and the young adult ministries people, if you would just come up close. And then what I would like for us, the remaining of our congregation, is when I'm about to baptize them, I want you to stand so you could be able to see. All right? So if you could just come on up, young adults ministries and Pedro's mom.
Okay, I would just like to say, thank God for everything that I, come here and be part of this family and this church and be close to God. I'm glad that my parents are here and my friends to be part of, to see me at this big event and to show that, I'm faithful to God and to truly come more closer and walk the path to Jesus Christ. The biggest reason for me is to get baptized, is to be reborn, and to release all the bad doings that I've been doing from the past and to start a new life, and especially become, getting married this year in August and show proof that I can become more better person, a better father, a better son, everything that I always wanted to be a part, and show God that I could do much better in this life. I would like to share a testimonial, how I share a bit of my life and how I became and how I ended up here. I was raised in a Roman Catholic church. Since I was a kid, always been going to church and gone to Bible school, become part of, I've been an altar boy here in D.C. And throughout the years, I just, even though I was going to church, it just felt that that I was just doing it just to go to church and show that I was there with my parents. But a lot of things has gone by throughout the years where my brother died at a young age of 17, cancer, and a lot of things has fallen apart throughout the years that I just, lost my faith, and I just was walking a distance to God, and just, I didn't know what to do, and I was going out with my friends, club, drinking and doing bad substance and all the stuff that I, you know, that affected my life. And at one moment, it's just, you know, something just woke me up, and just I had to go on through surgery, but it had taken my gallbladder. But I had been going, I had to withstand the pain that I was going through, and doctors couldn't find any reason what was causing the pain, and I didn't know what was going on until they actually found out that, you know, my gallbladder was deteriorating, and just, it was so infected, and they told me they were cutting out worse. But knowing that I lost two brothers to cancer, you know, what would have happened to me? And, you know, I prayed to God and that night. I wanted him to become, you know, to answer my prayers, to, you know, just to show that I wanted to change my life and to become more healthy and to show proof that I just want to be there for him. And that's when, you know, when I gone through surgery, and then when they found out, you know, that's when I prayed that night and I met my fiance over the internet, and you know, we talked, and she's the most caring, and she's a Seventh-day Adventist, and she told me to become more closer to God and to become more healthy and everything, and just, you know, putting my trust and love in her. I had to travel all the way to Malaysia just so, you know, just to meet her. And everything, that path got answered. It just become more intact with the life that I wanted. So just seeing her and changing my life, she told me to be part of the Seventh-day Adventist and get baptized and everything. And that's why I'm here. And, you know, God has answered my prayers. And now I'm getting married this August. And I know, I'm pretty sure my fiance is going to be happy for this too. Yeah. So, you know, this is the greatest moment in my life. Become, you know, closer to God. And thank you, everyone, for supporting me, and being friends, you know, talking to me, even though if you didn't know me, but at least you approached me and say hi to me. And that's one of the greatest things, you know, about this church, is just the feeling of, you know, family and reunion, for everyone to be there and supporting each other. Yeah, thank you so much.
Pedro, I remember when you first came to our church, very shy, quiet, reserved. And someone says, still is. That's right. Even when you give your life to Christ, you still have that personality. Amen? But it's a sanctified personality. And I remember as we spent time together, Pedro, as you were listening and having our Bible study, I can see that you were growing in God. Even though you're quiet, I can see it in your eyes, the love of God in your life. And so it is a privilege for me and our church to witness you to being baptized this morning. So if all the congregation, if you would stand at this time so you'd be able to see. Pedro, because you want to have Jesus as to lead your life, I baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At this time, we want to invite Anthony and friends also to come up too. Maybe the congregation, if you would remain standing, because you'll be sitting throughout the service, so this will be a good time for us to... Anthony, come on up and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your spiritual journey.
Morning, church family. All right. As you know, my name is Anthony Dunn. I've been coming to the church for at least over 2 years now. And basically, just briefly, I've always had Christ. I've always had God growing up. My family raised me to be Christian, like Baptist Christian. Oh, sorry. And throughout my young life, teenage life, I didn't really stray away too much, but I just felt that the church I was going to at the time was... didn't really feel like home at much, but I still kept the Lord in my faith. And even when I felt like I lost my way, I never really lost sight of his plan for me. I just didn't really truly acknowledge what it was. And then almost 2 years ago when I met Natalie Reed, and she had told me about CMC and how much it's meant to her to be a part of the church family, and just for me to come by and visit just at least once just to see what it was all about, I felt I pretty much couldn't turn that down. So... ever since then, I just felt like this is home, this is family, I feel accepted, and that's why I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Anthony, before I baptize you, Natalie, you want to just grab that microphone right there, and Natalie would like to just express this means to her and to the family.
Hello. I knew you were going to put me on the spot. well, this means a whole lot. Like Tony said, when we first started to get to know each other, I said, I am a Seventh-day Adventist at Capitol Memorial Church, and how long I've been coming. And I said, this is my second family. And I said, whenever you feel comfortable, just let me know when you want to come. No pressure. But of course, you know, we have that effect on people. As you can see, he's up there. So it means a lot. And like I tell Tony all the time, it wasn't me, but God led me to bring him here, you know, as well as you all. I know you all have been praying for him. I've been praying for him. I'm sorry. Just when his daughter's here and gets to see you. Gets to see him, and we are your family now. We are your family. We're here to support you. We're here for you when you fall, and the devil's going to be busy as soon as you come up from that water. But the angels are rejoicing. They are rejoicing, and I don't want you to ever forget that. And we're here for you on your journey, and Tiana's here for you, and I just want to let you know that I love you very much, and prayer works, because we've been praying for you, and there is prayer works, I'm telling you. So I'm proud of you, and we're here for you at every step of the way. Okay, Tiana's shy.
That's all right.
Anthony, because you want to make Jesus the leader of your life, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As a pastor, this brings me the greatest joy of seeing an individual giving their life to Jesus Christ. Amen? For most of you, you'll remember when you have made that commitment. Perhaps that along the way that you decided to take a detour. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to get back on the road to follow Jesus. But there's all individuals who have accepted Jesus Christ but haven't made a public announcement that they want to follow Jesus publicly. So if you're in that decision process, and if you would like to know more how to make that decision, in the front of your pew, there's a connect card. If you will fill that out and put it in the offering plate, and one of our elders or myself will contact you. Our mission statement says, we exist to join hands with you to become mature followers of Christ. And this is only a start, isn't it? This is only a start, and we don't have to have all our lives together, and sometimes we think that we have to have our lives all straightened out. But Jesus doesn't ask you to clean yourself first. He says, accept me, and I'll do the changing in your life. Praise God for that. Amen. May God continue to bless you as we sing songs, as we listen to Mark Anthony and the gifts that God has given him as he shares. May we truly experience God's presence in this place.
Music. How are we? It's been a few years since I've been here last. Last time I was here, I think it was 3 years ago, and I did a testimony at that time, so I won't do a big testimony today. We've had the best testimonies we could have today already. Amen? This is a high Sabbath today with a couple baptisms, and kind of reminds me of when I got baptized 6 years ago by Jim Gilley over at 3ABM. The big question is, what are you going to do with your life now that you are baptized? And are you going to make a big difference? And we talked about it in Sabbath School today, how you can make the biggest difference. One of the biggest ways we can make the biggest difference is get ourselves out of the way and allow Christ to start doing the work. Amen? There's too many people out there sitting there saying, well, I've got God as my co-pilot. Well, if God's your co-pilot, switch seats, you know, and start letting him be the pilot. Amen? And I'll tell you, yeah, it's been a fun trip going around the country like this. Ever since I left here, let's see, I got married. I've got the most wonderful woman in the world. God blessed me with a wonderful woman. I've done cooking shows in every single state in the country, including Alaska and Hawaii. Talk about God. God can make a big difference, but you got to get yourself out of the way. One of the problems I had was when I first started, I was in that casino business and everything, and I really started reading the Bible and studying, and the problem was I wasn't listening to God. And if you look it up in the dictionary, one of the definitions of the word listen is actually obedience. Yeah, so see, there's a lot of people listening to God with their ears, but they're not listening to God with their actions. And that's what we need to do, is start listening to God with our actions. In fact, let me see, there's a church down in Atlanta. I mean, I go to these churches in gang areas, churches that have 10 people in their congregation. Down in Atlanta, they were dealing drugs like 20 yards away from you all day, just flagging down one car after another. And we had 100 people show up at the cooking show. And the next year I had to go back there, and same pastor, he told me that they had 8 people who had never been in a Seventh-day Adventist church before, but they came to the cooking show, and they were in baptismal classes, and 3 of them had already been baptized. Isn't that amazing? From a cooking show. Yeah. So, and there's plenty of room tomorrow, I'm sure. Paul, how we doing? We got plenty of room? So invite your friends, flag down cars out here to a cooking show, and maybe we'll see the same thing happen here. Amen. So let me start with prayer. Oh, Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us all together. Oh, we need you in so many ways, Lord. And we know that you're right here in our presence. Lord, we come to you asking for forgiveness of our sins, just like the baptisms wash the sins away. We know that you're a righteous and just God who forgives us of our sins. And Lord, we want to be worthy of being in your presence. We want to be worthy of receiving the gifts that you have for us. So we welcome you into our hearts and into our minds as we are in this holy sanctuary that you have provided. And I ask, Lord, that you will use me today and be the words that you need spoken as I surrender my life to you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, we got to be in forgiveness. That's one of the biggest things we need to do. Too many people not being in forgiveness. And let's see. 1 Kings 14:8. That one says it. 1 Kings 14:8. Let me see if I can find this word. 1 Kings 14:8. Now this is God talking. And God says, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David. David was a servant, amen to that, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, only to do what was right in my eyes. Now I'm thinking about this and I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't David an adulterer and a murderer and a few other things? So how could God be saying that David kept all his commandments? And it says this three times in the Bible. When I see that three times, I'm always thinking, okay, there's something about this. But it just goes to show you that God not only forgives us of all of our sins, he literally forgets every one of our sins. Amen? I mean, do we have an awesome God or what? I'm telling you, it's one of the mysteries of God, but he literally forgets all of our sins. And every one of us has our sins forgiven right now. And the only one that's going to bring up those sins of the past, that's Satan. Saying, remember this? You're not good enough. Oh, remember that? That's what Satan does. So we need to overcome that. You know, stay in forgiveness and then start moving forward. Now, what it takes to make a big difference? Well, go to Sabbath schools. Good Sabbath schools, huh? You got to go to Sabbath schools. These are fun. This is where you get your meat. And I'll tell you, Sabbath schools, it's like iron sharpens iron. Amen? We've got to go to those Sabbath schools. That's where you strengthen each other and really become a good unit. So Sabbath schools are great. But one of the things we have to do to start making that big difference, we need to pray more. I see you're having a 40 days of prayer here. Now, to me, isn't that kind of ridiculous that we have to have a time for 40 days of prayer? Are we that bad in our prayer practices that we have to have 40 days of prayer? Kind of makes you wonder. When I see this in a church, I'm like, that church needs 40 days of prayer. Those are the church, yes, those are the churches that are doing 40 days of prayer. And I want you to take advantage of this 40 days of prayer and really dive into it. Yeah, I think you're not too far into it right now, right? So we need to expand it even farther and adapt that 40 days of prayer, not to just go 40 days. We need to continue that 40 days of prayer practice every single day for the rest of your life until Christ returns. Amen? That's the concept we need to do. And the two things we need to do to make the biggest difference in ourselves, in our community, in our relationship with God, besides praying, is you have to pray for discernment, and you have to get on the path, taking steps. That's the two major things you have to do. Ellen White talks about discernment more than any other subject in the Bible. Discernment, that's where you get godly wisdom, you get godly knowledge. It's about using God's eyes and God's heart and God's mind. Discernment is what gives you that parent's intuition, but it's coming from God. You're getting that godly intuition. That's what helps make those decisions in everything you do in life. That's what helps make those decisions when you're going to be communicating with people, when you're going to be talking to them, witnessing to them, whatever the case might be. Pray for discernment. It is probably the most important prayer you could ever do. And then the other thing we have to do is get on the path and actually start doing things. There's too many people sitting there like this. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord does not mean to sit there and do nothing. We're supposed to wait on the Lord like a waiter or waitress waits on somebody in a restaurant. Actually doing something. It's an action form. Waiting on the Lord is action. Doing things for the kingdom. You got to use some discernment here. Let me show you this real quick. You've probably got a couple different Bibles out here. So we're going to go to Hosea 12:6. Now the NIV version, check out the NIV version. You need some discernment here. So everybody pray for discernment. The NIV version says, but you must return to God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. Wait for your God. Now, if you go to the King James Version, therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy Lord continually. What a huge difference, huh? And if you go back to the original text, it says to serve your Lord continually. So you've got the original translations were supposed to be that we are to serve the Lord continually, yet the NIV Bible actually says you're supposed to wait for the Lord. That's the exact opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. Are you catching this? You know, but Satan turns things so slowly that nobody ever notices it. He does a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here, and nobody ever sees these things. That's why we have to have discernment. You know, I went down to Arizona on my way here. I go visit my dad all the time. He's doing great. He's 89 years old this year, and he is so healthy. He's loving it. He's really doing great. But over south of Tucson, I went to this one church, and they were kind of a small church. And I sat down at the fellowship meal. I wasn't doing any speakings or anything that weekend. I sat down at the fellowship meal, and a couple kids came up to me and said, hey, we were wanting to go out door to door, but nobody here will let us. And it was, I think the one guy was 14 and the girl was 12 or something like that. And I told him, I said, you just go out there and do it. Don't listen to these people in the congregation saying you shouldn't go out there witnessing to people about Christ. You know, and the congregation's like, oh, it's a dangerous world out here, and, you know, it's just not safe, and this, that, and the other thing. They had their reasonings, of course, but they went out there and did it. I went back to that church probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 months later, and they had half a dozen new people in the church from the community that those kids went out there. And instead of two kids going door to door, they had 4 kids going door to door. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Came back about a year and a half later, which was just, you know, just a few months ago. And they had over 20 new people in that church. That was almost 1/3 of their congregation, at least active. Yeah. And I'm telling you, they were catching the vision. Instead of those 4 kids going out there, they had close to 10 kids going out there every single week. The cooks, there were some ladies and one guy that were in the kitchen preparing meals for them. They had a couple of the guys out there with the cell phones directing them through the community. They had maps on the walls with colored markers to say what parts of the city they've canvassed already and with what material. They were getting funding. They had people contributing money, they had cases and cases and cases and cases of books to hand out to people. This is what happens when people catch on the vision. So you don't want to sit there and think that nothing's going to happen, but you got to get on the path and start taking steps. Okay, take one step and then another step. And what you're going to do is you're developing a track record. And once people see your track record and say, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this, then they can start catching on to this vision. And that's how you get your support. That's the way it works. And you can do the same thing at this church. You've got a pretty populated area within just a couple miles of this church. I mean, traffic is, well, I must admit, Washington, D.C. has the worst traffic in the entire country. I'll let you know that. Just in case you didn't know, okay, they do. But pray for that discernment, amen. And I'll tell you what, the way Satan flips everything very slowly, listen to this real quick here. This is how you have to have discernment, because Satan changes everything so slowly you don't notice this. Abortion rights is now called pro-choice. A little bit friendlier, right? Pro-life, on the other side, is now being termed anti-abortion. So they're giving it the negative innuendo on that. You see how that works? Gambling is now called gaming. Gives a little more friendlier type of attitude to it. And I'm not doing anything political here, even though I should, being in Washington, right? But politically correct actually means keep God out. That's what politically correct means. Keep God out of this. You know, this is what's going on. Immigration rights. Okay, it changed from illegal aliens to illegal immigration back in the 80s. And then it became undocumented immigrants. And now it's undocumented citizens. You see how it changes over the years? Nice and slow. This is the way Satan does things. So slow, nobody will notice. Even gay rights turned to same-sex marriage. A few years later, then it turned to civil unions. Then it turned, now it's called marriage equality. You see how it changes over generations? The encyclopedia actually has definitions that it takes 2.5 generations for people to believe something as being the truth. If we told these kids or this group that this carpet was green, 2.5 generations later, they would believe it's green. And there's actually a science about this, and in the Wikipedia, they actually talk about this, and they say that governments and churches actually use that strategy to change the path of government, societies, and everything. So you want, this is why we need discernment, because Satan is so deceptive in everything he's doing. Sex change operations is now called gender reassignment surgery. Doesn't that sound better than a sex change operation? Now they call it gender reassignment surgery, and it's approved by the federal government for a tax deduction. So, yeah, this is what's going on out there. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, Satan actually puts people in a state of hope. Do you know about this? Satan puts people in a state of hope. You got to get this. This is going to blow you away. Where's it at? Where's it at? Hope. Bananas. No, that's tomorrow. Here we go. Hope. These are definitions of hope in the Bible, okay? Actual definitions of hope. Safety, security, confidence, bold. There's some good ones. Assurance. Yeah. To trust, to feel safe in. Now, these are definitions of hope in the Bible, too. To be careless is a definition of hope. To attach oneself without care, carelessness, the folly of relying upon any other type of security, strongly contrasted with depending on God alone. That's a definition of hope. One who is overconfident and shows no caution whatsoever. These are biblical definitions of the word hope. An express sense of resignation. There is nothing more one can do. Now, doesn't that sound like hopelessness rather than hope? So we've got to understand there's a big difference between hope being a noun, our hope is Jesus Christ, and hope being a verb, which is an ungodly, earthly hope. There's a huge difference, but Satan just bundles it all together in one package. So everybody's just like, oh, all you need is hope and everything's going to be fine. There's no action in that kind of hope. You know, I mean, is there going to be hope in heaven? No. Because we're going to have our hope fulfilled in heaven. And see, that's the way we need to be here on earth right now, is having our hope fulfilled, knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Not wondering if he's our Lord and Savior. There's a huge difference between the two. You ever look at insanity? Insanity, that's doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. That's what people are doing with hope nowadays. They're hoping for the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. They're hoping that administrations can change the economy. They're hoping that the economy gets better. They're hoping they get a job without ever actually looking for a job. This is what's happening out there. Jesus didn't say, come, let us hope together. He said, come, let us reason together. He wants action in our lives, doing things. He wants us getting on that path and taking every single step with him, actually moving with action. You know, when you're just hoping, you're being, you know, just staying in one place. And now, Satan is doing the same thing with grace. There are so many people out there, I would say the majority of the population, that actually believes that grace is a free gift from God. And everybody's wondering, what's my point? It's not a free gift from God. There is not one single place in the Bible where it says grace is a free gift from God. Nowhere in the Bible. And let me look this up. There is one spot here. I'll read this for you. From the King James Version here. I don't have the scripture, but I have it written right here. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For it, through the offense of one, may be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. Now, this is the only place where you will find grace and free gift together anywhere in the Bible. And what it refers to when you go to the original translations is that Christ is the free gift. But see, society, Satan has bundled grace. You know, we get graces every day. We get lots of different graces. We had grace before we were born. We get grace every day. And a lot of people, you know, we get grace at salvation time, right? But Satan's bundled it all into one package, thinking all you need is grace and everything's going to be fine. Grace is not a free gift. We got to remember that. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Well, that's a form of action. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Look at the baptism today. Let me see if I have one here for the baptism today. Grace. Here we go. That's a form of action. That's what baptism is. It's a form of action. John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, there's already a condition put on grace. Everything in the Bible is conditional. If and then, right? If and then. If you believe in me, you will keep my commandments. If and then. Isaiah 58:13, one of my favorite ones. 58:13 here. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. It's all conditional. But see, society has gradually tipped this into thinking that grace is a free gift from God. You have to do things to receive that gift, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, odds are pretty thin about you getting that grace. You still might. The grace of God is a mystery, of course. It really is. And it is available for anybody, action, who comes to him. That's what we have to understand. We have to come to him, you know, and we have to do the things that he wants us to do. You know, I kind of think that, you know, what's happening nowadays, the younger generation, they think that their free gift of grace means that they never have to tithe, they never have to go to church, they just get this gift for free. And the younger generation, they're getting to that point now where they're expecting their free gift from God. This is how slowly Satan turns these things around, and we just don't notice them. That's why you have to have discernment. Pray for discernment. That's what's going to give you that godly wisdom and godly knowledge, you know, and start doing the things God wants you to do. Start tithing the way you're supposed to. Start obeying God with your heart and your mind and everything you have. He has so many blessings waiting for us. But we've got to put ourselves in a position and condition to receive those blessings. And you just keep taking steps. You don't have to do everything all at once. And I'll tell you what, you never know who you're going to be witnessing to either. You know, like we talked in Sabbath school today, some people might just be doing part of the watering or planting, and somebody else comes along. I was over in, I had this van, because we don't know how God's going to bless us. My other van, I went to 3ABN. Some of you might know Melody Prettyman. I do cooking shows with her. And here I was, I ran into her. She came over to a camp meeting once and helped for one of the Sabbath meals. And then, I don't know, maybe 6 months later, I ran into her on the road at her church. And she was so good at health. I said, hey, come back to 3ABN and do a camp meeting, and I'll show you how to do the filmings on television. And so she could start her ministry up. And so she came back, helped me. And I told her, I said, I can't pay you. I said, you know, I don't have a budget to pay people, that kind of thing. She came down and spent the, you know, about 10 days there. And the day before she was leaving, you know, God impressed me to give her a donation. And but the day before she was leaving, my van blew up. Had a blown motor on my van. And I was like, oh, great. I can't do it now. This is just, you know, it's not in my budget. But I prayed about it and prayed about it. And I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And actually gave her a real substantial donation. A lot more than I was going to originally give her. And I put a little note on the envelope. I said, this is to jumpstart your new ministry. And I hid it in her computer. The next day, I went to go look at vehicles. And I checked, you know, on the paper and on eBay and, you know, what else, Craigslist and stuff. And the first van I went and looked at, old van, you know, but it had a lot of miles, but a good compression. Everything was mechanically good. And so I told the guy, I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I can offer you this much money. And I had the money in my hand. I was asking offering him a lot less than he was asking. But I said, maybe he'll take it. And I thought, if he sees the cash, maybe he'll take it. And he looks at me and he says, I can't accept that. I was like, oh, great. How much is this guy going to be asking for this thing? And he looks at me and he says, I talked to God last night and God talked to me. Real, real strong Pentecostal guy, you know. And he says, God told me he was sending me somebody today and not to charge him a nickel more than this amount. And it was the exact amount less that I was offering him in cash that I had just donated to Melody the day before. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You want to charge me less? This guy was a car dealer. Have you ever heard of a car dealer saying, put that money away? I mean, I couldn't believe it. And so we made the deal. We get in the car, the van, and Dale, his name is Dale, and he's in the passenger seat. And I'm driving, big guy. He must have been probably close to 400 pounds. And we're driving, and I started talking, you know, I do cooking shows at 3ABN. And he's like, you know what? I've been watching 3ABN. They make a lot of sense to me. Now my light bulb's going off. I'm like, this is a divine appointment I'm on. I'm driving. I'm trying to hold my composure, though, you know. You know, like, that's going to help. But, yeah, I'm getting all excited. Every question he had, the Holy Spirit had the answer for me. Rather, it was on the Sabbath or the state of the dead or eternal hellfire or whatever it was, the Holy Spirit had the answers. You know, and I was like, wow. We got back. We prayed together. We prayed over the vehicle and everything. I went on my way. And a few months later, I got a letter from Jim Gilley, the president of 3ABN. And he says, hey, Mark, we ran into the guy that sold you your miracle van. Him and Danny Shelton were at a cafe sitting there having lunch, and Dale sits right next to him. And he hears them talking about 3ABN, and he starts talking to him. So then they started developing a relationship together. So that's what I'm saying. You never know. You might just be planting the seeds. You might be coming over watering that plant that has already started growing, or you might be dropping the fertilizer on there. And then we leave the harvest up to God. Amen? But you got to keep doing. You got to have that action, doing things for the kingdom, not standing around waiting on the Lord. I always tell people, we need to be on fire for the Lord, not be sitting there putting ourselves on the back burner. You know, I mean, look at me. I could be back in Vegas. I could be back in Vegas making tons of money, catering for all these celebrities. But God has impressed me to get out here in the community. Just did my over 1,000 speakings now. Over 600 cooking shows. You know, and I'll tell you what, I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, and it's rough. Sometimes it's rough being out there on the road. But I know that the rewards that God has in store for us, I know He would not want me doing anything else. You know, but you got to take those steps. You know, get on that path. Don't stop taking those steps. And it's one step at a time. You know, take that action. You know, there's too many people that are, they're only giving God 10%. Or they're only giving God 30%. We need to start giving God 100%. You know, if you look at, there's this thing called infection, super infections. Did you see the super infections we were getting last year? This, I think it was in January, February. And people, you know, they're sick. Then they feel like they're all healthy. They quit taking their meds. And they might have a little bit of that infection still left over. And then that infection grows into what they call a super infection. And that's where no medicines, nothing can help. You know, it's just a super infection. And that's where a lot of the ammonias come from and things like that. 25,000 people died from the super infection just last year. But this is the same thing that's happening to us. We're still holding on to 10% of our sin. It's like, well, I'm only going to the casino once a month now, or I'm only going to the bars once a month. You know, we need to give God 100% of everything we have. Otherwise, that little 10% is going to come back and bite you with a vengeance. You know, and so we need to make sure we get all of that out of our systems. Start giving God 100% of everything you have. Look at it this way. Would you marry a spouse that's only going to give you 50%? I mean, would it be okay if your spouse cheated on you 20% of the time? Aren't we supposed to be preparing ourselves for the ultimate wedding? Aren't we the bride? And don't you think we should be preparing ourselves in every single way, shape, and form, 100%? For the biggest ceremony in the history of the universe. It's right around the corner. That's how close we are. And this is our opportunity right now to shine in this community. It's getting so dark out there. I mean, it is really rough. I mean, and now's the perfect time for us to shine the brightest. The darker it gets, the brighter we need to shine. People are going to look at you. They're going to look at this congregation. They're going to say, I don't know what it is about that, but I want some of that. That's why we need to get excited about Christ returning. And the best things you can do, read more, study more, and pray more. Now, there was this studio up in Utah that I helped build. And it was a retired pastor. He had all these acres in a building, and he wanted to give a building to the church. Nobody wanted to do it. And I went up there for 3 months, never charged him a nickel for labor or anything, and I remodeled the entire building. It must have been, I don't know, 50,000 square feet, huge building. And I built a studio in there. Now, I went to the church. I said, look, this is what we want to do. I did a fellowship meal. The first fellowship meal, two people showed up and they were walking like this the whole time, looking at everything. Just kind of noses frowning and everything. Yeah. And about Maybe 6 weeks later, I had another fellowship meal out there. We had a dozen people show up. And that time, they all had their hands behind their back, looking around. And all this remodeling going on, construction everywhere, you know. And then the third time I did a fellowship meal out there, and the pastor was giving them the property. And they were still hesitant. The third time I went out there, I was out there the whole time, but had another fellowship meal. We had over 30 people show up at that fellowship meal. And most of the sets were done, all these beautiful sets everywhere, cameras everywhere. And they were all like, oh, look at this. Oh, what we could do with this. And look at this. And look at this. They were all so excited about this place. They couldn't believe it. They were like, oh, we've got to do some stuff here. Now, they have a 3ABN tower right there broadcasting to the entire community. All from a congregation that was sitting here like this. But see, people need to see the vision. That's what they need to see. They need to see that vision. So when you get that vision to them, then they can start really getting behind something. And you can get that domino effect and you can really start rolling. But you got to get out of the seats and use some action. That's what you got to do. In fact, here we go. This is Paul back in Asia Minor in Acts 19, 8 through 10. It says that Paul continued teaching the halls of Tyrannus, for 2 years after the people of Asia had heard the gospel. Now, in 2 years, Paul reached 200,000 people. Every one of them was reached with the gospel in 2 years. Paul went in by himself. In 2 years, he did that. He never had a cell phone. He never had a computer. He never had an automobile to drive to these 200,000 people. But we can do the same thing right here. If Paul can do it and reach 200,000 people in 2 years, I think we can do the same right here. Amen? But it takes action. So you need to start tithing right, but I'm going to appeal to you to not only tithe the way you're supposed to, but start tithing 10% of your time to the church. Can you imagine if we all started tithing 10% of our time to the church? Pastor would be sitting here saying, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this labor. You know, you'd have to find projects to get them out there and get this message out there and get excited. I mean, look how close we are to the end days. We are this close to the end. You all know that, don't you? Let me share this with you from The Great Controversy, page 595. The multitudes do not want biblical truth. They need it, but and that's because it interferes with the desires of the sinful, world-loving heart. And Satan supplies the deceptions which they love. But God will have a people on the earth to maintain the Bible and only the Bible as the standard of all doctrines and the basis of all reforms. Satan is now putting forth his utmost and for a final struggle, his utmost efforts for a final struggle against Christ and his followers. The last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform him marvelous works in our sight, so closely with the counterfeit that to resemble the truth, that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by Holy Scriptures. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. That's why you have to pray for discernment and you have to take action. That's the two biggest keys that we need to do. Pray for discernment, start taking action. And I'm talking action, reading the Bible, praying more, studying more, go to those Sabbath schools, and then build up such a strength that we can really make a huge impact in the community. And you will be so excited by what Christ does, not only in this church, but in each one of your individual lives. That's what it takes. So pray for that discernment. And I got to tell you, I got a girl, this girl in prison. Her name is Erin, and she's serving a life sentence for murder. Born and raised Seventh-day Adventist. She killed a girl and her unborn baby. And she's about 45 years old, and she's serving a life sentence. And somebody asked me, her aunt called me up and says, hey, you know, can you send her a letter? I sent her a letter. This was maybe about four years ago, right before I was here. And she, we've been writing back and forth, and I go visit her from time to time. She quit her job. And I had to go through every single step with one person. You know, forgiveness, salvation, sanctification. You know, you go through every single step with somebody. She caught on to it. She quit working on the Sabbath. She said, that's it. I'm honoring God with everything I do, even in prison. And we got her two flutes, two Seventh-day Adventist hymnals in prison. Her and a roommate play the flutes at four different services, all the Seventh-day hymnal music. So, I mean, and she's just on fire for the Lord. And she got a job in the at the loading docks at the prison with over 1,000 girls. And she asked her boss if she could bring in a portable baptismal. And there's a pastor that comes down from Northern Nevada. They had a baptism and baptized 19 girls. This is a girl in prison doing more than most of us are doing out here. Yeah. And she is so on fire. And I mean, everything from her youth has really came right back into full working order. And even the guards, they come up to her and they send people to her. If prisoners have problems, they send them to her. You know, and that's how much her character has changed. And that's why I say pray for discernment. Pray for her, Erin. She's she really needs it. And because people are testing her character, seeing if she's worthy for them to confide in her. And see, they do the same thing to us. When you're going out there, that's why you got to maintain that godly character, just like you should anyway. You know, and have that discernment, and God will show you what to say, when to say, how to say it, everything, when you're relying on Him for everything. So, amen. Let me do a painting. I can have some fun here today. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy. Your holy name. Bless You, Lord. when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
deacons would work their way down to the front. You know, I look at what Mark produced and I listen to the words that you shared. And yeah, just work your way on down whenever you're ready. And I see a ministry. And God has intended for every one of us sitting in this pew a ministry. It's unique. It's yours. You own it. And oh, that we could develop our ministry to be as powerful as this. This is visual and it's visceral and it affects us all. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, 10% of what you've given us to give back to you is nothing. 10% of our time, Lord, is a challenge. But what could you do? What will you do if we're faithful to you? Thank you for Mark Anthony's ministry. Thank you for the servant that he has become for you. Bless all our gifts to the ends that you would choose them to be, in Jesus' name, amen. As you're making out, I know this is not in the bulletin, as you're making out your tithe envelopes, Mark didn't ask for anything. He doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I think it's proper. You might want to consider giving a ministry in tithe towards Mark Anthony's ministry. Just put that on the bottom left, send it to the church, and we can contribute that to him so that he might continue on wherever God sends him and do powerful things like this witness.
Amen. Let me tell you a couple things here. One life can make a difference. Look at the life that Jesus made on the cross. I mean, that was a heavy, heavy price for you to receive that grace. Now, the gift that God gave us was our lives. God gave us the gift of life. And it's what we do with this life that he has given us that is our gift to him. Are you catching this? We are the gift to him when we serve him the way we're supposed to. We need to understand that we have a responsibility to do the right things. Satan doesn't want you doing things. Satan wants you to just wait for the Lord. Satan doesn't want you to be on fire for the Lord. Satan's going to do everything he can to stop you from witnessing. So stay in prayer. Continue focusing, relying on Christ with everything. Get that action involved in your life, doing things that he wants you to do. And I have always thought of it as Satan is always shooting those arrows. He's always shooting arrows at us. But we know that's just because Satan knows his last arrow is soon to be shot. Amen? And we are here for one specific reason, to worship Christ, to learn more about him and learn how to serve him better. You know, there's a lot of people that come up to me and they're like, Mark, you're making that kind of money in that casino business? I mean, sometimes $20,000 a week out of a slot machine. You know, and they said, you need to get back in that business making that kind of money. And I just look at them, I'm like, why would I ever go back to Egypt when I see the promised land right in front of me? Amen? We are this close to the promised land. There's no turning back and running back to Egypt. We need to be excited and be on fire. And I'm telling you what, this Sabbath day is the day when you can step forward every day for the rest of your life, serving him in a mightier way than you ever, ever imagined. So let me have a prayer. And Father God, we thank you so much. And we know you have so many great plans for our lives. We just ask that you will surround us with your angels as we take those steps. Teach us how to continue taking steps. Teach us how to rely on your ability to protect us and guide us and provide for us. And Lord, we need to ask you to teach us how to witness to people. We pray, Lord, for that discernment that we need more than anything else. And Lord, as we go off to the Sabbath day, we ask that you will not only teach us how to hold this day in reverence, but teach us how to have this day as a day of celebration. The Sabbath, a Sabbath celebration, a mirror image of that thousand-year celebration Sabbath that you have waiting in heaven for us just a few short days away. So we just thank you and love you and can't wait till we hear those trumpets sound, calling us home for all eternity. We just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest.
rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, would be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
For the decisions that were made today, we thank you for the supportive family members who are here to gather. Lord, help us each in our personal spiritual journeys. Help us to focus our eyes on you, or put our trust in you. Help us let nothing get in the way of that. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing with this church. We thank you for this 40 days of prayer and how we're being drawn together each and every week. Lord, we pray that that continues no matter what. In your name I pray. Amen.